की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 entitled the Samam Bonam, chapter 10 entitled deliverance of the Yamal Arjuna trees, verse number 13. Asata Shri Madandhasya दारिद्र्यं परम अञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इक्षते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परम अञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इक्षते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परम अञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इक्षते। असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परम अञ्जनम् आत्मपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इष्यते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परम अञ्जनम् आत्मपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इष्यते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य परमञ्जनम् आत्मोपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्रं परमिक्षते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परमञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परम इक्षते असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परमञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दरिद्र परमिक्षते। माताजी असत श्रीमदान्धस्य दारिद्र्यं परमञ्जनम् आत्मौपम्येन भूतानि दारिद्र्यं परमिक्षते असत। ऑफ सच अ फुलिश रास्कल श्री मद अंधस्य who is blinded by temporarily possessing riches and opulence. Daridryam, poverty. Param anjanam, the best ointment for the eyes, by which to see things as they are. Atma aupamyena, with comparison to himself. Bhutani, living beings. Daridra, a poverty-stricken man. Param, perfectly. Ikshate, can see things as they are. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is a proper ointment for their eyes, so they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want others to be in a painful condition like his own. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even today, if a man who was formerly poverty-stricken gets money, he is inclined to utilize his money to perform many philanthropic activities like opening schools for uneducated men and hospitals for the diseased. In this connection, there is an instructive story called Punar Mushiko Bhava, again become a mouse. A mouse was very much harassed by a cat, and therefore the mouse approached a saintly person to request to become a cat. When the mouse became a cat, he was harassed by a dog. And then when he became a dog, he was harassed by a tiger. But when he became a tiger, he stared at the saintly person. And when the saintly person asked him, "What do you want?" the tiger said, "I want to eat you." Then the saintly person cursed him, saying, "May you again become a mouse." A similar thing is going on all over the universe. One is going up and down, sometimes becoming a mouse, sometimes a tiger, and so on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahman Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya Leela 19.151. The living entities are promoted and degraded by the laws of nature. But if one is very, very fortunate, by association with saintly person, he gets the seed of devotional service and his life becomes successful. Narad Muni wanted to bring Nalakuvar and Manigreev to the platform of devotional service through poverty, and thus he cursed them. Such is the mercy of a Vaishnav. Unless one is brought to the Vaishnav platform, one cannot be a good man. Harav Abhaktasya Kuto Mahad Guna. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. An Avaishnav never becomes a good man, however severely he is punished. Om Ajnantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 10 वर्स नंबर 13 ट्रांसलेशन। एथिस्टिक फूल्स एंड रास्कल्स हु आर वेरी मच प्राउड ऑफ वेल्थ फेल टू सी थिंग्स एज दे आर, देयरफॉर रिटर्निंग देम टू पॉवर्टी इज अ प्रॉपर आइनमेंट फॉर देयर आईज सो दे मे सी थिंग्स एज दे आर। एटलीस्ट अ पॉवर्टी स्ट्रिकन मैन कैन रियलाइज हाउ पेनफुल पॉवर्टी इज एंड देयरफॉर ही विल नॉट वॉन्ट अदर्स to be in a painful condition like his own. Hare Krishna. So this verse is spoken by Srila Narad Muni. When Srila Narad Muni, he sees the two sons of Kuber, Nalkuvar and Manigrif, intoxicated by wealth as well as by liquor, swimming or bathing naked with girls in the river, and not even being ashamed, standing naked in front of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni decides to cure them by his blessings, by his mercy, in the form of a curse. So these verses are expressing Narad Muni's internal thoughts that why he is cursing them in a particular way. So wealth can be double sword. Wealth can be helpful for one and can be very dangerous, because a person, when he has wealth, he becomes proud of his wealth. There is a saying in English, even a beggar is proud of his penny. Even a beggar who has coin is proud that I have a coin. And it is observed that wealthy people become proud, and that pride covers their intelligence, and they fail to see things as they are. They fail to understand others' painful situation. There's a famous story about a princess in France in 1700s, where there was a revolution by the poor class, peasants, servant class, and they were on the road in a procession shouting slogans, and she saw from her palace, rich palace, and she couldn't understand what is happening. So she asked her maid servant why they are shouting, what is their problem. So the maid servant said they are demanding because they don't have any bread to eat. So the princess, she said, if they don't have bread, they can eat cake. She was not even clear what is the problem. Hunger is a problem. Poverty is a problem. Lack of food is a problem. So let them eat cake. This is a very famous statement. Let them eat cake. Of course, historically inaccurate, but it has become a phrase now to express a person's inability or insensitivity to understand another's problem. So she didn't understand their problem. Just like for us to use our eyes, we need light. If there is no light and you have lotus-eyed, nice lotus petal like eyes, any use? No. How will you see anything without the presence of light? But if there is too much light, then also you can't see. In the same way, some wealth is required to maintain the body. But if there is too much wealth, then you can't see. You can't see things as it is. Because the pride of wealth, when a person is proud of his wealth, that pride is too much light that covers our intelligence. And we cannot empathize with others. There are many social experiments done, real experiments. For example, one I will tell you. There was a man who was a very rich person. So he dressed in a beggar's costume with big beard and dirty coat and pant and shirt, torn, and he was looking very poor beggar. So he went to a very high class restaurant and the gatekeeper didn't allow him. He said, you do not belong here, you cannot eat here. He said, I am a customer, I want to eat, I have money in my pocket. He said, no, even if you have money, you can't eat here. So then he went back to his home and dressed in three-piece suit, shaved his face and came in a car, and the same gatekeeper opened the gate for him. Same person. So then he went and put his coat and pant on the chair. He said, feed these cloths, because your customer is these cloths. I too came before also, you didn't feed me. You feed this uniform. This is your customer. Like this, many social experiments have been done. One experiment they did is, there was a girl wearing a beggar's dress, sitting and crying on the footpath. And so many people passed by, including vehicles. And nobody stopped to pay attention to that beggar. But the same girl, she wore a very nice dress and made her hair and face very nicely and sat crying on the road. Immediately many people came to help her. Who requires help more, a rich person or a poor person? A poor person. But the tendency is to ignore a poor person less than me. He has less wealth than me, so I will ignore that person. He has more wealth than me, then I'll attend to that person. What kind of psychology is this? Like sometimes it happens, a big senior person in an organization, even in a devotee organization, is ill and there are 10 people serving him. And a very junior person is ill and there is nobody giving him a glass of water. Who requires more help? One who has already 10, 11th is waiting. Can I also do some service? So the tendency is ignore the poor person. and attend and respect the rich person. From where is this tendency coming? This tendency is coming because of lack of discrimination and sensitivity to understand others' pain. And that insensitivity is coming because of pride of my wealth. What I have is making me blind to see those who don't have, the pain of those who don't have. This is not with all. There are personalities like Yudhishthira Maharaj who became very rich and who made Indraprasth, and he had lots of Lakshmi. And what did he do? He had lots of power. So what did he do? He arranged a Ratsuya Yajna, Ratsuya sacrifice, and invited the whole world, all the leaders, all the kings, the rishis, the munis, the brahmanas, the demigods, and fed them very nicely, gave very generous charity and arranged the yajna very, very opulently. And when there was time for Agra Puja, worshipping the superior, most superior person, he invited Lord Krishna. And he showed to the whole world, this Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. His Agra Puja I am doing. And I am able to do Ratsuya sacrifice with so much opulence is because I am servant of Krishna. Krishna's servants are blessed with opulence. He showed this to the whole world. So he didn't got proud of his wealth. He didn't got intoxicated because he was detached. He never thought, I am owner of this wealth. That should be the attitude of a devotee. We are not owners. We are caretakers. Like the cashier in the bank. He counts lakhs of rupees every day. But at no point of the day, he thinks this is my money. Even though he counts. He keeps them safe. He notes it down. But he doesn't think this is mine. I am the owner. He doesn't think that. So a servant can peacefully stay in a master's house if he is clear that I am not the owner of this house. I am not the owner of the objects. I am not the owner of anything here. But if the servant start thinking, I am the owner, partly or fully, then he will never be peaceful in his heart. Because he will like to control, he will like to protect, he will have fear of losing these objects, his possessions, and that fear may make him do sinful activities or irregular activities just to protect what he thinks are my possessions. So that's pride. And that's very dangerous because you forget the discrimination power. You forget to distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong, true and false. And duty and lack of duty. So Narad Muni, he is explaining the solution for this. Mother, Shri Mother, Mother of Shri, Mother of Money. The solution is Daridraya, poverty, Param Anjanam. This is the best Param, supreme medicine, best medicine. When a person who is intoxicated by wealth, his wealth is taken away, that is a solution for him. And Krishna does that. That's why Lakshmi Devi is famous as Chanchal. A person is rich today and poor tomorrow. And a person is poor today and rich tomorrow. Nobody can be permanent rich and permanent poor. In front of us we read in newspapers some companies who are flying high, now not flying only, who are very wealthy and now have nothing, who are very opulent and popular and now in the news for all bad reasons. So that's chanchal. Lakshmi Devi, her mercy can be permanent only if we worship Lord Narayan. Ravana, he kidnapped Mother Sita, who is Lakshmi Devi. And he was killed by Lord Ram, who is Lord Narayan, with his whole army and family. Because he separated Lakshmi and Narayan. We should not do that. If he had kidnapped Ram, Sita both together and kept in Ashok one, it would be a different situation. So we worship Lakshmi with Narayan. Srimati Radharani and Krishna together. Srimati Sita Devi and Lord Ramchandra together. Not separately. Lakshmi separate. Like some personalities do in Deepavali, Lakshmi they worship. Lakshmi Devi, please come to my house. Narayan, go to neighbor's house. I don't want. Not invited, not welcome. Arre, imagine you invite a chaste wife to your house and tell, don't bring your husband. Will she come to your house? She will not come. So why Lakshmi Devi will come to our house when we don't want Narayan? But if you invite Lord Narayan to your house, Lakshmi will automatically come with her husband. So we should worship Sitaram together, Lakshmi Narayan together, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna together. Not alone, alone Krishna. Alone Radharani or alone Lakshmi. That we should not do. So change this concept. So then Mother Lakshmi's mercy is permanent. And when we serve Narayan with the Lakshmi we have, then we don't become proud. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj. He used his money to serve Krishna. So Lakshmi should be engaged in service of Krishna. Hanuman did the job of uniting Sita and Ram, Lakshmi and Narayan. Ravana did the job of separating Sita and Ram, Lakshmi and Narayan. And that's demonic. So we should not do that. Don't kidnap Lakshmi. Don't separate Sita and Ram. And some people must be thinking, why I am speaking such things? Nobody here is doing that. In fact, many are doing that. Lakshmi is in their pocket and bank, and Narayan is in Juhu. Lakshmi is in the bank balance. Narayan is here. Separated. So we should, whoever is an earning member of the society should use part of his income in the service of Narayan, in the service of Krishna, in the service of sadhus, in the service of Gomata. Then that income is purified. Then that family is purified. But if we try to keep that Lakshmi with us, Ravan tried to keep Sita Devi with him, then he was destroyed. She becomes the cause of destruction. So then the only solution is forcibly that wealth is taken away by Krishna through Maya Devi. But at the same time, we should understand, just by taking wealth away, just by punishing, a person doesn't change. A person changes only when he comes in association of devotees. Prabhupada writes a very nice statement that however severely you punish a person, he doesn't develop good qualities. So that's law versus ethics. In today's society, to take care of the problem of crime, there is a law. There are police forces, there are jails, big institution. There are courts, there are lawyers, there are judges, there's constitution, very big institution. How many jails must be having? How many criminals are there inside the jail? Total population 0.06%. In USA, 0.6%. Total population in jail. More in USA or more in India? Criminals, percentage wise. Looks more in USA, but ours, many are not caught yet. They are outside, still on the road, not caught, so not counted. Nevertheless, and they are all overpopulated. The capacity is 1200 and there will be 4000 inmates. I have visited many jails for preaching, don't worry. So the capacity is overpopulated and police are understaffed. They are having tough duties. And the net result is the number of criminals are going on increasing, not decreasing. Which means even after punishment, there is no change of heart. There is no rectification. A thief continues to be a thief. In fact, a very popular saying is, if a new thief is caught and put into the jail, when he comes out, he adds to his CV further skills and maturity of how to steal. Then he adds to his jobs also, because he meets other thieves who tell him what possible jobs he can do after he goes out. Then he adds to his opportunities also, because other thieves actually tell him the addresses where he can steal. So the very institution which is there to take care of the criminals is not successful. Because just by punishment you can't change a person's heart. You may instill fear in that person, but not change his sinful desires, the bija. So just by judicial system, police system, you can't change the society. The only way to change ethics, to change the character of a person, is by spiritual path. Krishna consciousness. The only way to change a person's heart is by pure devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada, he arrived in Chicago airport, there were some reporters. And Chicago at that time had highest crime rate in America. And I guess even today, highest crime rate city. So the government was a bit concerned. So one reporter, because this was hot news, he asked Srila Prabhupada that what do you want to say about this? Chicago has the highest crime rate. And Prabhupada said, we can solve this. That's all he said. So the reporter published it in the newspaper and the police commissioner read that newspaper. And police commissioner, who had no other solutions, he thought, oh, maybe some solution is there. So he sent his representative to meet Srila Prabhupada in Chicago to ask him what is his solution. And Srila Prabhupada said, you allow us blanket permission to do Harinam on all the streets of Chicago and distribution of prasad. If we just do that every day, the crime rate will reduce. That's Prabhupada's solution. And this solution works. In fact, in San Francisco, the first Rathyatra, thousands of people attended. And there were lots of police. And at the end, the police said, this is the first procession in America where nobody threw stones and broke glasses. Because whenever there is a procession, it's a revolution. And they throw stones to break the glasses of the buildings and the cars. But this is first such procession which is peaceful. And even today this Rathyatra is famous and officially allowed by the mayor. And schools are given holiday. And police have they like this duty because there's nothing else to do. Just chant, dance and eat. So that's peaceful devotees. So to change the crime rate, to change the sinful personalities, the only effective path is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Just by punishment it will not happen. Even if we want to correct some devotee, it will not happen by punishment. We need a rectification process. A process to transform their hearts. Understanding, empathizing the cause of their disturbance or disturbed behavior. So Narada Muni says, a person who becomes poor, at least he will empathize with other poor people because he is undergoing the same pain. And this is very good quality. To understand others' pain by our own experience. When we understand others' pain by our experience, then we can help that person. Even that understanding is sufficient to help that person. Even that understanding, even telling somebody who is in a pain that I understand you or I understand your pain is sufficient. To reduce his pain. But somebody in a small pain and his near and dear ones don't understand him, that gives him a bigger pain. So Narada Muni is explaining that Nalkuvar and Manigrive, they are intoxicated by wealth. So I will take away their wealth and give them a platform of devotional service. That's why they are cursed to become a tree in Vrindavan, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. If they become tree somewhere on the streets of Mumbai, it would not work. The devotional atmosphere is required. Vaishnava association is required. And they saw childhood pastimes of Krishna every day. Every day, whole day, whatever is happening in the house, they saw. Like these two trees we have, they are seeing Radha Ras Bihari whole day. They are attending Mangalarti whole day, I mean every day. And they are associating with devotees and attending all the Abhishek and the festivals and all the Aartis and all the Darshans. And that's great. Great souls. So Narada Muni is blessing them. Though it appears to be a curse, to become poor in Vrindavan. So if we want to help somebody to overcome their bad habits, we should understand it's only by Krishna consciousness. It's not possible by any material arrangement to transform somebody's heart. Just punishment will not work. The rectification process of pure devotional service is required. So Srila Prabhupada also makes the point about just like a person can transfer from rich and poor status, so we keep transferring from various species of life. Brahman Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So sometimes animal species, sometimes tree species, sometimes fish, aquatic species, bird species, insect species, or human or demigod, male, female, heaven, hell. Only a fortunate person gets the mercy of spiritual master, association of devotee and Krishna, and he gets bhakti lata bees, the seed of devotional service. And when we water that seed through the process of chanting and hearing, that seed grows into a creeper, and that creeper takes shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet in Golok Vrindavan, beyond this material universe, and produces fruit of love of Godhead. And you can eat that fruit staying in Mumbai, staying in this material world, Krishna Prem. So each one of us is that fortunate soul who has taken up Krishna consciousness by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. So we should continue to be very serious, and we should give others an opportunity to accept this seed of devotional service. And that's what this month is about, marathon month. When we distribute books, when we give a book to somebody, when he touches that book, when he sees, when he reads, when he pays for a book, his bhakti starts. Srila Prabhupada is preaching to everybody through his books. Srila Prabhupada said, I will be always present in my books. So going out with compassion and requesting people to read a book, to take a book, is actually giving them an opportunity to start their bhakti. Giving an opportunity to general public to transform their life to good, and giving an opportunity to the society and the country to improve in its citizens, to have better character. So that's very essential service. And we are trying to engage, we should continue to engage, so that we janma sarthak kari kara paropkar, we practice our bhakti and we assist in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. If there are any comments or questions, we will take.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, bahut bahut dhanyavaad.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, one question, that if we find someone doing some mistake, then this is normal tendency to punish.
It's not clear to me.
If I am looking over some service and I find somebody doing some mistake, then is general coming out first thing, some punishment, not compassion or not other things. So how it will come?
Okay, if somebody is doing a mistake in a service and the first response we have is punishment, so we should understand that nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Imperfect means they will commit mistakes. So if I offer service to somebody, then that person is imperfect, he will commit mistakes. So we have to train a person how to do service, then offer it. Right? If somebody is not trained to be a driver and I offer him service to drive a car, he will do an accident. So whose mistake? The person who appointed or the person who drove the car? So you should punish yourself first. Why did you give him service when he doesn't know how to do it? No? You're getting my point? So not everybody is trained to do all the services. But still voluntary somebody is doing service and we offer that service, mistakes will happen. So we help to correct the mistakes and we train so that mistakes are reduced. If a small child you teach multiplication tables and he goes home to memorize and next day he comes and he says 2 1s are 2, 2 2s are 4, 2 3s are 6, 2 5s are 12, you're not going to punish him, you're going to say do again. Right? Because he's a small child, how can you punish a child who does wrong tables? He's learning. So everybody who's coming is learning. So we should train a person how to do service so that mistakes are less. Right? But by punishment it will not solve the problem. Punishment is an institution which is part of the society, not the whole solution. It's required, but in a very specific cases. Okay? Any more questions? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.